You are now listening to an all-new episode of Bubble Bath Stories with your hosts, Nikki Trends and Manny Oso.
All right. What's up,
baby? What's up, guys?
As you can tell, we have a new setup. We have an extra person here. But before we introduce the new person, we're going to talk about the old people. I am Nikki Trends.
I'm Manny Oso.
And you're listening to Bubble Bath Stories, your favorite 15-minute podcast. And special guests, please let the world know, even though they can read the bottom, the people who are listening, please let them know who you are.
Hey, everybody. My name is Krista Gonzalez, a.k.a. Chrissy Gone.
Chrissy Gone here. Yeah, no, that was the truth. So, real quick, we connected on IG. I don't remember who, how, what, when. But what was great was the first time we talked to each other, you went to Coachella.
Yes.
Drink.
Oh yeah, that's our old rule, because every time we mention it in friends groups, we're always like, I guess we got to drink.
Yeah. Oh, gosh.
I love that.
And we connected, and you were like, I'm going to Coachella, who's been? And we gave you, I remember it was like a laundry list of do this, don't do that. And then you were like, well, what about camping? And that's when I stopped the conversation, because I was like, oh, I don't really know. And then I put friends yeah.
Yes.
Nikki hasn't crossed that camping threshold yet.
No. In my mind, people don't camp. But you are here because we have been watching your social media. I mean, besides content videos, doing funny skits, you have released an EP, Hypebeast.
Yes.
Where do we, what brought you there? Should we start with, the videos and the things you've done that led to me? Where do you want to start?
First of all, thank you for having me.
Of course.
Think the both of you are just so lovely and your energy is just so warm and welcoming. And I just want to tell you everything you need to know.
Okay.
Just, I'm ready.
We're going to get into it.
You are welcome back.
So with the EP and my whole music journey, I started doing music in March of 2023. And it started because I had a callback for Wild and Out, the TV show. I had sent an audition tape into them, and just to show you guys how the universe works, the week before I had been traveling across country to Chicago because I had an audition for Second City, the comedy theater.
Mm-hmm.
That's very prestigious out there. All the SNL
alums. I've seen a lot
there.
Of.
Yes,
lot
we
of
just
stuff
opened
right.
A theater here in New York, in Williamsburg. I also auditioned for them later in May. We'll get to my journey. So I had auditioned for them, and then I did awful, and I was sobbing. I called my mom being like, I'm quitting comedy, I can't do this, and she's like, just come back home, get out of the Midwest. And then, as I'm driving back to New York, I got an email from Wild N Out. A callback, they wanted me to come to California to audition with Nick Cannon in person.
Oh my god.
I stopped in my tracks, and I cried after crying tears of I cried tears of happiness in the same day.
Yes.
And it's just it just goes to show you, never give up on yourself. Never give up on your dream. You can't give up on yourself. So they're like, we can do a Zoom audition if you want. But if you want to fly out to California, the audition's with Nick in person. I said, I'm flying out. This is my opportunity. I'm taking it. And my miles are going to just have to get me by.
Yeah.
So I got to California. Before that. I didn't know what I was going to do because everybody was doing stand-up that was doing for the callback. They were like, just show us something that shows you as a comedian. They didn't really give me anything.
Oh, my God, that could be anything.
Yeah, right?
That was the synopsis. And I'm an improviser, and I'm a sketch comedy writer. That's my wheelhouse. I do characters. I've done one-woman shows, but I'm not really a stand-up. I'll do it, but that's not my wheelhouse.
Right.
So I was like, what the hell am I going to do?
And off the cuff, too.
Yes.
Yeah.
So I had recently, I was going through a breakup last year. And
can I just say all great success stories feel like they start with I was going through a breakup.
Well, that's what brought Manny to New York.
And I was talking to one of my writing partners randomly. I was telling him, we were going back and forth, and he was like, Kristen, you can't get so down on yourself. I don't know why you're getting so down on yourself. Don't you realize that you have UPE? And I'm like, what are you talking about? He's like, you have unmatched pussy energy. And I was like, Rich, you're a genius. And he's like, what are you? I was like, I gotta go. I can't talk to you. I gotta go. Literally that night, conceived the song Unmatched Pussy Energy. And it was all based off of my friend off the cuff just telling me, because she's like, you know how dudes got big skin energy, but you have unmatched pussy energy, Kristen. Like, you're one of the only women I know that comes through like that. And so I wrote this song, and so the night before I left California, I go to my family, because my mom, I come from a family of entertainment. My mom's also an
actress. Yeah, like, which we totally have to get into. Yeah. I love that you, like, when I watch your videos, your sister, your brother, like, you guys travel, it's, like, really fucking adorable. And then you do these cute-ass videos of your mom, and then I was like, holy shit, that's her mom? So, yeah, we're definitely going to get into that. But, okay, so did you go to California?
So I went to California, I performed the song, and the crowd went wild in the room. The executive producer.
What did they look like?
They were just shocked. They were just, he was a ghost. He literally just was like, I can't believe she's saying this right now. And then the showrunner stopped me and goes, stop, stop, stop. You're called back. And I was like, wow. And then somebody else goes, is that pussy? Leaving the room. And I'm just like, oh, I think I'm something. Like, when I went back to holding, and long story short, I didn't get it because I had conflicts with another reality TV show that I was on, so they're like, come in next year. But I said, I'm not stopping. No,
yeah.
I think I'm onto something here. And I came back, and I was just so engrossed in it, writing and coming up with these ideas. And, you know, and so then I went back to the studio for and I finished the EP, and I recorded a few songs, and now I'm working on an album to be released this summer 2024, and it's been just a great journey. Yeah,
I mean,
that's awesome. No, it's what's amazing too is how each thing came about like not connected to the thing before. You know, like who would have done music from acting and comedy.
Yeah.
You didn't expect to be like, oh, wow, I can write music.
Yeah.
Right?
Yeah, I'm a DJ's daughter. My dad, growing up, I was always with records, milk crates of records.
Oh, my God.
You know, I know how to do the scratch stuff.
It came into you somehow, yeah.
So I've always had an ear for it, and I have a very eclectic taste in music. So I knew it was there for me, but I always thought if I wanted to pursue music, I had to be like a Hello Lucy or like have So when this was coming out, I'm like, no, I actually like rapping about funny shit.
Yeah. Yeah,
shit that I think women can relate to and people can relate to about dudes not being shit. Because at the end of the day, like, we have comedic rappers like Little Dicky out here.
Yeah.
Are the females.
Yeah.
No,
well, when I actually watched Lil Dicky, so I said the same thing. I was like, I think he's clever, mm-hmm. but you know, that's what makes the music good, is that he's clever.
Mm-hmm. Totally.
That's outside of that. That's it.
No, and the music can exist. I mean, that's why WAP was so popular. You know, mm-hmm. like it's in there. You know, there is definitely a need for like, and there's the feminist in me talking. There's definitely a need for strong females in all group in all music genres, especially in that. If a guy could talk about big dick energy, then a girl could talk about.
If you want to send me
unmatched pussy energy,
you can send it to the feminist nanny.
Like, I mean, where else does your power come from? Is what I'm saying, right?
I really am interested because you said it started out as a family. It's a family business. Your mom's into your dad's DJ. And we were wondering, in what job did you have that you were just like,
no thanks.
This is not what I want to do. I'm going to go into entertainment.
So fun fact about me, before I stopped, before I started my music career, I was working in venture capital as an operations analyst.
Operations analyst. What does that mean?
Yeah, slow.
Yeah. For those of us who haven't been operation analysts.
So basically, I worked at a VC firm and venture capital. This is a company basically that'll invest in startups.
Yeah.
Okay.
Their businesses, or even help an entrepreneur start a business.
Okay.
So that's the company I was with, and I worked for or was in, and I was there for 6.5 years. And I had some great times. I got a taste of the super rich. I loaned private. I went to offsites. Wow. I've been to Turks and Caicos over 4 times. My boss had houses in DR, Paris, it was great, but it was shitty because nobody was full of any substance. Mm. And I say that with my chest because I've been around these people for 6 years and I would try to be malleable to make myself be like, how can I kind of get in? And I never could. And I realized why, because I'm an artist. I'm not a financier, you know? So I had to make the switch and I've been so much happier ever since. It's not about the money. Please do not work for money. If there's anything that I can give advice, do not work for money. You will not be happy. I was making over 6 figures and I was not happy. I was drinking myself to sleep every night. You know?
I get that. I totally get that because I've been exposed to that lifestyle before too. And it's a lot that you compromise to do that. And for people, I get it. There's a lot of people out there who have never, ever, ever going to see that type of opportunity and they take it for what it is. I get that. But a lot of people, like, they're in there and they sell their souls.
Yes.
You know, and that's tough. That's easy to say, but when you're going through it, it's really like, I can't believe I'm doing this.
I mean, to be honest, it's a skill. You can live with yourself while doing it.
Right.
Yeah.
Yeah.
But, like, so you've done all this great stuff. I guess some people would ask, well, why can't you have the 6 figures and have a hobby? Like, if you're a nurse, why didn't you have something on the side to, you know?
But that's what I was doing. So my background, I went to Pace University for acting. I minored in film studies and anthropology. And then after that, I fell into the VC world. I was the executive assistant to the founder of Pinterest. And then after that, he was an angel investor and he was from San Francisco. And then his wife got pregnant and he was moving to San Francisco. And he's like, come with me. And I'm like, no. I'm a comedian. What comedy scene is out in San Francisco? And the thing is, this was in 2016. Looking back on it now, I would have went because I've been to San Francisco. It's very lovely. It's a very artsy world. But, you know, the artist and actor in me was like, no, I know my village here in New York. I go to improv after work. I have rehearsal on this days. I was like, no, I'm not stopping this because this is what I love. This is my passion and my hobby because, you know, my day job wants me to go over there, but who knows, like, what opportunities would have serviced me if I went over there.
Let me ask you, when you quit the whole thing, did you quit ready? Or were you like, fuck, this is my last paycheck, this better work?
This is my last paycheck, it better work. And this was before dispensaries were open, so I became a drug dealer.
All right.
Selling weed from the 20, around the 20.
Hey, you gotta eat.
See the 20.
You gotta eat.
You gotta do. Like, I personally always thought I would be a great drug dealer. So, I always felt like I would be an amazing drug dealer, and the people who work under me would just be so. Like, we had a dealer that we actually had on the show.
Yeah.
It was during the time that.
Yeah. Mr. Wave, check out that episode.
Check him out as well. And he was just talking about how he is a drug dealer and not legal and what that means for him and the dreams beyond just selling. He wants a brick and mortar and all that. And so he was the type of dealer, though. He would deliver. He would let you know, like, when you were in line. He gave his employees
immaculate customer service.
What? Like, for family days, like Father's Day.
One of it, yeah, that was really cool. He, one of his guys who would deliver for him had a baby, and he gave him maternity leave.
Wow.
Like, in essence, whatever that equates to in drug dealers. Yeah.
How was your business after? Because we're going to judge you now. So, were you great or what?
Yeah, because you left unprepared.
I mean, I left unprepared, but
which is usually how people do. Yeah.
People bought from you.
They gave me a severance of like 2 months' pay. What the fuck was that?
Yeah, right? 2 months.
Oh, I'm sorry.
Yeah, sure. It doesn't stop her.
It's terrible. But so you had to sell drugs and stuff since your life, but were you a good?
Yes, I was a good drug dealer. I had loyal customers. And I'll even be honest with you. It even carried over to when I got the VC job. I would have my customers meet me at my job in Flatiron. And I would be like, I'll be back. And I would just go in. Because I just like servicing my customers and smoking weed for free.
Yeah.
Did you do skids? Why? Like, okay, you bought a cave. I'm gonna test out the skid that I've been working on.
Yeah, how much of the drug dealer fit into the skits?
I kept it separate. Some of them were my improv teammates, you know, very, okay, all right, now truth serum. The way I got my customers, I posed on Grindr. And
oh!
Oh my God.
My ex-boyfriend at the time was the guy I would use. So then he would.
They're all using your boyfriend's picture.
Yeah.
Wow, he was a popular guy.
Yeah. First, the real deal here is you started it.
Okay, let's shift it back, family friendly. Okay, so your mom is a part of the industry, like you said.
When you decided to do this, was she like, let's talk about this before you mate, or was she like, yes, follow in my footsteps? Like, what was the plan?
My parents were very hard on me. They did not want me to do acting. They were actually like, when I was doing all the college auditions and I like auditioned for Juilliard and like, you know, you have to do all the whole gamut when you're doing that. Yeah. And my mom was supportive, but she was also like, just know this is going to be hard. Mm-hmm. But my dad, he's an educator. He's a teacher right now. He's a dean at this point. He's been teaching for years. Fun fact, he taught Q-Tip from Tribe Called Quest.
Nice.
And one day he said, Mr. G, I'm going to be famous. And my dad would be like, sit to us. Yeah, learn now.
And ain't like that. Ain't
but
it like
my dad's not a artist. You see, he wasn't supportive of Q-Tip. He wasn't supportive of me.
Yeah.
So, and now I'm getting laughing.
Yeah, you sound just like that guy, Quincy.
And then when I got in the pace, early decision for my acting, for the acting program. Also, wait, I should prerequisites. I'm like talking so.
No, it's all good.
For you guys. I was cast in a movie and I was sent to Argentina for the summer before senior year of high school. Oh, so then my parents believed in me. But that whole 11th grade year when I'm trying to apply to colleges, they're like, you can't just do this. And that's when I got the movie and I was leaving. They were like, oh my God, actually, wait, our daughter might be talented. So then when I came back from that summer, I was a different person because, you know, you could drink in Europe. And I came back like, I'm leaving. I'm getting to school. I'm a movie star. So I got an early decision at Pace into the acting program. I almost failed high school because I didn't try it after January. Once I got here, they like, failed math. And they're like, Kristen, you won't walk if you fail math. So fuck, I got to try it.
I'm really good at math.
So then after that, they loosened the reins a little bit. And they saw that, you know, this is something that I'm passionate about. It's something I'm actually good at. I would say, like, even to this day, my, like, dad isn't really supportive of it because he's still an educator. My mom, she's still in the entertainment. She's a filmmaker. She just finished a short film that was in the New York Shorts Film Festival. Right now she's getting ready to do another pilot about living gentrification in Bushwick.
Oh, wow. Okay. Nice.
So,
So we talk about gentrification.
We did an episode on that.
Love it. I come from a family, an entertainment family. I would say from my mom, my mom used to have a performing arts school here on Myrtle Avenue.
Oh, wow. Growing
up. And so I was always around it. I used to be a dance teacher to little kids. I taught ballet, tap, and salsa. She would teach acting. We also had karate and singing there.
That's so crazy that, like, you're basically embedded in it, and then your parents were still like, no, but don't look at this.
We struggle doing this.
But almost to the point where I was graduating Pace and I was like, oh my God, what's going to be our next move? What did I do? I took the LSATs and I almost went to law school. And I literally was taking Adderall studying, being like, what am I doing? Just because I need a fucking career. And then after I took I took it for the second time, I scored like a 148 or something normal. Like, it wasn't crazy. And I was like,
very normal to take the LSAT, so you got that LSAT.
170 is like a perfect score, and I got like a 148, and I was just like, you're not going to get into Harvard, like, so you can go to like CW post-law.
Okay, I'm sorry, our great lawyers.
But wait, like, if they weren't supporting the creative thing, and they were creative parents and people themselves, what was happening when you were getting these jobs with like Pinterest and going to Turks and Caicos and all that? Well, like, were they like, oh, awesome, you should stay doing that?
Yes. So like they were actually, they didn't have to worry about me for 6.5, 7 years. You know, they you know, like during that time when I, after college, when I fell into starting to work in BC and with finance and all this stuff, they were like, oh, cool. You like know how to support yourself and kind of just like, let me kind of fly, but not really giving me any guidance anymore.
Yeah.
I was paying my own bills, but it was like, they also had my brother and my sister too. I was the oldest.
Right.
Yeah. So I also understand why they weren't really holding my hand much at that point.
Right. Yeah. Because now you've also set a standard of, I'm going to live differently. And so eventually that causes the younger ones to be like, well, if she can do it, then I can do it. Which then causes a little bit of chaos.
It does.
You have to leave a little chaos behind.
How many brothers and sisters?
I have two. So my sister, she's 9 years younger than me, and my brother's 11 years younger than me.
Oh, wow.
But I'm super close to them. Yeah. As you can see, like, I went to Amsterdam with them. I went to Coachella with my sister.
Oh, I love that.
I told my brothers we got to do a brother trip, like a sibling trip kind of thing. I think it sounds amazing.
What's your age difference with your
brothers? I'm the middle of two older and two younger.
Wow.
Yeah, my oldest brother is 39, 40.
Don't even ask me.
My youngest brother is 25, and I'm in the middle.
Okay.
Yeah, and so
the top three are like the closest in age.
Yeah.
Okay. Yeah.
Right. Yeah, but like I think that sounds like cool. It's you're planning a sister trip, right?
Well, we do. So I'm one of four. We're all, you know, all girls, and then what we do is like every big milestone birthday. So the older ones have already turned 40. So it's like every 40 we'll do like a girls trip because none of my sisters went on girls trips. I was apparently the only one who's ever been on girls trips. So like that's what we do. But they have kids, so their schedules are all kind of crazy.
Do your siblings support your art?
Oh, definitely. My sister's also an artist. She's a writer.
You see what you did there?
Yes.
You caught that. You
of course. That.
Like, I guess, well, she doesn't need finance. Yeah.
She went to NYU for screenwriting. And she's so right now she's finishing her second novel.
And how long was she a drug dealer?
Oh my god.
I'm late. You really put her up.
She's too smart to do that, honestly.
It's the math.
Yeah, it is. So she does, and then my brother, he works in production, and also he also, side note, has his electrical and like carpentry degree.
Yeah.
But he like learned a trade, so that's been lending on set. So he's been actually getting like grip work since being in New York.
Yeah.
And they get paid, right?
Yes.
And like taken care of, right?
Yeah. So he wants to get in the union, he was telling me that now. Like, so he's been like looking into it.
And you could do a one fun job. Yeah, that's cool.
And the parents are like, yeah.
Production company.
That's my mom's. She has Roseland Productions, and she's after this. So it's the second film that we're working on, the one about gentrification. We're all going to be doing that. I'm going to be helping coordinating and PAing and my brother scripting and
like. Your dad's like, it's not going to work, you guys. It's not going to work.
With him. Well, since you're speaking on that, you guys are all working on that. Has there been a project, music wise or on screen, that you have forbidden your family? You're just like, I'm gonna be got to never.
Yeah, because UPE, that's a.
You know, it's so crazy because
I put in all that work. Everyone says a great karaoke song.
It's a good karaoke song.
Yes. But Spotify doesn't put the lyrics. You got to get on Apple so we can get the lyrics on there.
Lyrics on there.
Okay. Yeah.
You get the lyrics. I did videos on YouTube. I was having issues. It was, you know, it's so insane. Like, right now, I'm my own PR. I'm in marketing. And I just want to make the art, guys. I just want to be creative. And
it's much work, though.
Yes. Because I have to do the other side of this stuff. Because how is anybody ever going to hear it or know who I am if I'm not doing the work on the other side?
And I don't know about you, but, like, definitely for us, sometimes that makes us not excited about what we're doing. You know how many times we've been like, I don't know if I want to do this podcast anymore. Like, doing the videos and nobody responding to social media posts and like waiting on we have sat with each other and been like, I don't know if I want to do this. And like, even saying it has somehow hurt my soul because we've been like, I can't do this anymore. And then we put this over and we're like, okay, well, maybe we can do it. And then it's like, oh, we got to do Mike. Well, maybe it's not so bad. Oh, maybe we'll.
Since you're a one-woman show, are you open to using AI for any of that?
I have been where it's been where I'm still figuring out AI because I've been told in conversations that AI can be functional as an assistant, but finding out how I can use the robot to help me be faster and mitigate these things I'm yet to do, because it's like they're very, it's very literal. You have to be like, make a paragraph on this.
Which takes time to do, which is taking away.
If I'm explaining it to the AI, I might as well do it myself.
Yeah.
I was, because like for a while I tried Fiverr, like hiring like people in like overseas and like, you know, Bangladesh.
Yeah.
That helped a little bit for a while. But then again, you have to again sit and give instructions and go back and forth. And sometimes you're just like, I need to move on to the next thing. But I will say this, I feel like everybody has these moments, and I totally identified with you when you said that. And I listened to this meditation this morning by Basher, and he says, a lot of the times, you know, when we are going through things and like, you know, you're at a job or somewhere where you're not supposed to be, something's going to push you out of there, or because your higher self knows where you're supposed to be going. Like you're supposed to be doing this podcast. You know, I'm supposed to be here with you guys. Yeah. I wasn't supposed to be at that VC job. So that's why I quit, like, you know, and when you're more aligned with what you're supposed to be doing, that's when you feel that soul. Yeah.
Yes, the alchemist.
Like you're in the heart of truth.
Yeah.
You know? So never deny that part of yourself. Like always make sure you're feeling in that, ruminating in that higher frequency. Yeah. That's where the magic happens.
It's really important to listen to what's going on in your head.
Yeah.
Yeah. We were talking about that the other day because a comedian was talking about the voice in your head and making a joke about whether it's louder.
Can hear it.
Yeah.
Like, or no, the volume control of it.
The joke was like, the volume in your head is too loud, so you can't hear other people, right?
Like, is that true?
But then we're thinking about it. We're like, yeah, like how often do people actually sit there and really listen to the voice in their head and what it's trying to tell you?
Because it's distracting. There's been plenty of times that somebody's talking to me and I'm like, in my head.
Yeah.
And I'm like, so
but if it's distracting, head. Then like it's really trying to tell you something.
Yeah.
Yeah. That's cool.
Okay, so you're a performer. You've performed in front of all different kind of crowds. That takes a lot of guts. What in yourself did you have to get over in order to give 110% to performing?
Not having any humility. Mm-hmm. I think also like my training in acting school definitely helped with that, because that was, you know, doing all these like Meisner techniques of making you cry and having sense memory and tapping into that drama and being vulnerable, because only in your truth is when you're really gonna have the magic of acting happen or the magic of your performance happen. Because and I saw the difference of when I was being truthful and when I was just going on stage and bullshitting. And I also said, no, I used to be 100 pounds heavier. And I was still doing comedy, 100 pounds heavier. It's kind of funny because since I lost weight over the pandemic and I've been coming back to the comedy theaters, and half people don't realize who I am because they remember they used to be being heavier. Damn, I'm
like,
but it's so crazy because it's like, I never lost sight of like, I was like, wow, it's crazy because like, even when I was heavier, I wasn't nervous. And it's just like, insane seeing like, you know, like that change in myself. Even though I look different, I'm still delivering the same every time when I go on stage. But I know I'm coming across differently because I don't look the same. So my brand has kind of changed, so to speak, and things like that. So, but it's been, but I would say, just always making sure that you're truthful on stage, because when you're truthful, you're not going to know who's there. Mm-hmm. Whenever I'm being true to myself and what I'm going to put into my performance, Bill Gates could be in the audience and I wouldn't even know. Rosie Perez has seen me perform and I didn't even know.
Oh wow.
So it's just like,
that's a little flex on it. Rosie Perez has seen her.
You mentioned, what was that, a crying technique? What was that you said?
Sense memory. So it's a Meisner technique, a sense memory.
You want to try it?
How do you do it? What is the concept?
You need to make yourself cry, right?
Yeah.
Okay, let's see.
It takes a few minutes, but
I think I'm pretty good at crying. My dad used to say that. what's the technique? How does it work? Right,
so you're on a train. You're on a subway train, and you're by yourself. And it's really quiet. And it's late at night, and for some reason the lights keep flickering on the train, and you know your stop's coming up, but
it's really late at night, and the sliding doors open from the other train cart, and you see a figure coming through, and the figure is coming towards you, and it's this deep, dark creature, and the creature is coming closer and closer to you, and he opens his jacket, and inside his jacket is all of your fears, all of your hopes that you never got, all of your bad memories when you were little. And he's showing you all of these things in his jacket. And he's taking off the jacket, and it's getting bigger and bigger. And it's almost as big as a movie screen. You're seeing all these things.
And then all of a sudden he comes at you.
I think he was closer to crying. I think I would have been like,
Is that really the thing?
So that's the gist of it. I did it kind of wrong because that's supposed to be one memory.
Tiny little thing in my brain. Tiny little tiny thing.
Yeah. It's like you're supposed to pick like one trauma, one moment, once again, but I was like, I fucked up. But yeah. I was like, I have to finish it.
You know how I embarrassingly make myself cry all the time?
Tell us.
Whenever we're in a group of, like, and somebody's like, oh, what kind of TV shows you like? I always make the mistake of mentioning This Is Us.
Oh, yeah.
Okay, bro, that show, have you ever heard of it?
Of course, I've seen it.
Bro,
I didn't finish it,
so. Here's the problem. When you're around, when you're around people who've never seen it and you need to explain what the show's about, forget about it. Halfway through the explanation, you're like, all right, hold on, I need a second.
Oh.
Bro, because it's about that. Anything these days that's a movie that's about family,
yeah,
brothers, or being away from home, I fucking bought. Look at
that.
But also, there are some actors that will get me. The kid from Cobra Kai, who's on Blue Beetle, that kid will fucking make me cry. That kid can emote like nobody's business. I don't know who taught him, but he's got the... He's like I think he's a movie away from getting an award. Yeah, he's a good actor. But that's a good technique. Yeah, but then when you said open the jacket, at first I was like, wait, where are you going?
Yeah.
I would switch that with maybe a box.
Yeah.
He opens the box.
I think it is a box. I haven't done it since acting school.
The reason I was asking though about that is how, because your family, you know, obviously it's in your DNA, as anybody would say. How much do you think being in performance is really learning techniques compared to like going out? Because you said you would go out there and just bullshit and be like, you know.
Well, improvising is always bullshitting.
Yeah.
Because we're performing without preparation. But because I've trained and studied improv, I have techniques and I know gain. And I think it's important to train because it teaches you structure in your craft.
Mm-hmm.
And it's like you can choose to use it or you can choose to not, because you can use your sense memories to get to that untapped vulnerable moment. But also if you remember reading about like the Alexander technique and stuff, then you have other things as your go-to if you're not having such a good day.
Yeah.
And I think it helps when you're not feeling 100% to kind of get you as close to 100% as possible at default.
I think it's when people talk about like Broadway performances and stuff, and they talk about speaking with your diaphragm, mm-hmm, and people be like, what does that mean? Mm-hmm. And like, you got to explain like what that means. And so, like, that kind of thing makes me think, like, yeah, you could probably go up there and, like, say a line, but, like, do you know how to stand on a stage and stuff like that?
Right.
You know? Yeah.
Knowing where to find your mark, find your
line. I don't, like, I'm saying, like, I tell her all the time, like, I would like to, like, try out for, like, a community theater. Me being from Florida, not from New York, I assume everyone in New York, every neighborhood performs or something.
You're not alone. I did, too.
Come to find out, not every neighborhood has like a neighborhood theater or something.
Right. Yeah.
But I tell her, oh, I want to try out for like a community theater. But I'm over here thinking, do I even know how to like stand on a stage or something like that?
Y'all listen to him. A little backstory. As most of you guys know, Manny and I went to high school together.
Yeah.
That's how we know each other.
I was in Thespians in high school.
He was.
But it's been years since anybody's exposed me to anything like that.
Anyone who knows
me. Yeah.
knows that he hasn't forgotten.
Yeah.
A bit is always set up.
I want to be
there's always the, like, let's try. I don't know if you do this with strangers. We definitely do it at home. Like, if one of us has a really sick bird, like, misstepped or missed time, we're like, let's do this again. Let's do it again.
Say that thing and you just said again.
On the annoyance, we either play along or just like, I'm done. Like, I'm done.
I constantly have bits in my head.
So I never in a million years believe that you don't have it.
I used to date somebody and she would tell me that that the funny thing about my bits is that all my characters always have backstories.
Yeah.
So it's never just like a girl with glasses walked in. It's always like she has glasses because when she was growing up, they're like, now let's get to the bit.
So he definitely has it. Don't employ you. My favorite song for now.
Let's talk about your music. Let's talk about your music.
We got through all the other stuff, family.
I got a couple of questions.
Do you want to go first?
Yeah, I want to talk about Hype Beast. Hype Beast. That's a great song, by the way. All great karaoke songs. I want to ask you, though, when I was listening to it, about just one of the lines about the jewelry really made me think. And I want to ask you, ladies, have you ever been gifted fake jewelry and passed off as real?
Yes.
I'll let you go first.
My ex-boyfriend gave me a Tiffany bracelet.
Oh.
Quote unquote. I still have it in the jewelry box. I wish you would have told me. I would have bought it. That thing is rusted, dark gray now. That was not no fucking Tiffany's bracelet. Okay? Yeah.
In the box and everything?
Yes. Yes.
What was the occasion that he gave it to you?
Christmas.
Christmas? In front of people?
In front of my parents.
Oh, wow.
Yes. Yes. In Long Island, yes. There was I think my extended family was there. Aunts and uncles, yes.
Oh, geez.
Yeah, he did me dirty. Yeah.
But, like, did you act, like...
At the time, I thought it was good. You know what it was? Remember those bracelets back in the day that they had the lock?
Yeah, the lock.
It was that one. And it's so dark gray now. I was this one. He fucking got me the big bracelet.
Well, at least you guys were together when you got yours. We weren't together. The story was that it was a Swarovski. Is that how you say it?
Swarovski.
Like necklace. And it was like this three. It was actually really cute. It was a heart. It looked very like 3D-ish. Like, and then it had this like weird chain on it. But it didn't come in like a
Swarovski box.
Yeah. It did not do that. And, like, the tag was underneath the necklace. But also, you just dumped me in a cab, on the way to my grandfather's funeral in Florida.
It was a party
gift.
Please
do not give me a fucking gift. Also, like, I had already done the gift giving. Like, I had deliveries being sent out. And so he was like, oh, I got you. I was like, are you fucking joking? Like, what? So it stood in a drawer for a really long time. And then I tried to take it to the store. Because I was like, fuck, I'm going to
wear this shit.
And they were like, we've never sold this before. Manny was there, so of course he had a field day. He had a field day.
I said, I'll go get you a pretzel while you're in the
So, like, I wasn't extremely pissed off, but the thought was like, why would you even give it to me? Like, we weren't together. I wasn't, why would you give it to me?
Yeah. Yeah.
Like, what sitcom did you watch where you give a gift after you break up with them?
Yeah. I am more mad at myself that I went there to pick it up.
So was any of that gift an inspiration for Hype Beast?
No, this was like three boyfriends ago, so I don't even know. This Hype Beast was conceived after I did a one-woman show about the same breakup, and I did characters of all the guys I dated post-breakup on Tinder, and each guy was a different character when I swiped. So this character was a guy that laid down floors at Dick's Sporting Goods, and he was also a Spanish track rap artist. So my first meeting with him, I go meet him at the studio over here in Bushwick off the Halsey stop, and then after I'm like, well, I have a car, so we get in my car, and he's like,
I'm gonna play my single for you and serenade me with a riff of Hype Beast. And so this is actually a riff off of his song. I don't even remember, but all I remember being like, I can't believe this motherfucker is serenading me. I don't even know him in my car. Wait, no.
His car, but in
it's my car. He literally connected to my Bluetooth and everything. Wow. Like, got up in my shit and played this.
I don't know who you are, but she is still mad to this day. Like, she is mad.
Well, she's like, you ain't got a cord? No, it's fine. I'll do Bluetooth. You ain't got a cord?
I saw my name on the screen. Like, damn. But yeah, so that's how Hype Beast was conceived, because it was actually a riff off of his song Hype Beast, and it was about
has he hit you up yet?
No, I don't even because I was also heavier, so I don't even think he knows it's me.
Shut up.
So if you're out there, babe,
if you're watching this, share, subscribe.
I mean, if you go ahead and send it out.
Yeah. So my favorite song is Dub Him Kindly, and the question I have is, it's twofold. Who is Dub Him Kindly about, and did he deserve a kind dub, or should he have gotten a rude dub? Answer.
So Dub Him Kindly had nothing to do with the relationship, had nothing to do with somebody I was romantically involved with. It had to do with me getting studio time for the first time. And I had no idea how to figure this shit out. And my sister's boyfriend at the time was like, oh, I got this dude. He got a studio over here. Again, on Halsey. All the studios are off the Halsey stuff, off the L, by the way.
Yes.
So, all the music studios. So this dude was going to be my ticket to lay down UPE, because I just had an acapella version at this point. I didn't have anything. So he's like, set up the studio time, everything. And then he's like, literally an hour before I'm supposed to leave to the studio, texts me and says, I'm sorry, I have to cancel. Something suddenly came up. And I was like, are you kidding me? And then how the universe works, I met this other producer way back when I was single at Carmelo's. Do you guys know about the bar Carmelo's? Yeah. It's a cesspool for single men, in case you didn't know.
Yeah, I've not heard kind things about it.
Yeah, if you want to feel better about yourself as a woman and just go build your confidence, walk into Carmelo's and you'll feel fine.
Or a man, if you're a man looking to get some compliments.
Yeah, go to Carmelo's. So I went to Carmelo's and I met this dude there that was trying to pick me up, but we ended up being friends, and he's also a music producer, and he was amazing. We have such great synergy. And so I remember in the back of my mind, after this guy canceled on me, the other dude that I met at Carmelo's, I'm like, wait, he does music. See how the universe synchronicities work out. And he's actually the best producer I've worked with today. I've worked with other producers and I keep going back to him because he understands my sound. He understands what I want, like the cadence of my voice, all that stuff. So, but the other producer comes texting me while I'm in the studio with my new producer. And he's like, oh, hey, if you want to, I have open availability this week.
Yeah, right.
And then I said, you know, actually, I'm going to decide to go in another direction, but thank you.
As per our last email.
Yes.
As per.
And it was funny because I was on a group text with my sister's boyfriend, and he goes, ooh, you dubbed him kindly. And I go, you're a genius! You know, ASAP.
Cue the rainbow.
He's like, man, you dubbed him kindly. And I was like, wow, like, you gold mine.
I love that.
Layers. I love the iceberg.
Yes.
All right. Well, before we let you go, I thought it'd be fun to play a game.
Yeah.
It's called Dub Him Kindly, Rudely, or Not at All. And we're going to give you three names, and you tell us if they should be dubbed kindly, rudely, or not at all.
Okay.
First person, Jonathan Majors.
Rudely.
Did you hear the interview?
No, but I
heard clips, and it's like, bro, who gave you another mic?
You know, the Golden Globes that just passed. Host Joy Coy. Dub him kindly, rudely, or not at all. I mean, he made some terrible jokes about Barbie and Taylor Swift that did not land well.
Did he make a good joke that whole night?
No. As a comedian, what does the comedian inside you say?
I feel awful that I didn't watch the Emmys.
No, the Golden Globes. Don't feel bad.
See, I don't even know what's... I haven't watched the awards. So, judging by the Barbie comments, I would say not at all.
Wait, did you not like that? Did you like Barbie? What was the vibe?
I loved Barbie. I thought it was a great piece of culture for little girls and just in general showing. I think my little child was so so gracious to watch it. Especially I love the juxtaposition with the crazy Barbies. Yeah. I feel like we all as children fucked with our toys and mashed them up and messed them up. And we always wondered what that did to them inside their head. I did. Yeah. So it was just great just showing that world and what, they thought of it. But I did also think there was a lot of production put into that. Yeah. Knowing in our line of work and what we do, I was like, this definitely.
It got me excited about the movies for sure.
Yeah.
Okay, last person. I'm going to pull this off the top of my head. Michael B. Jordan.
Kindly.
Well, you know who didn't dump him kindly, right? Lori. No, I'm just kidding. Michael B. Jordan, thoughts and prayers.
Thoughts and prayers, Michael.
Thank you so much for being here. Definitely. I'm so happy that we met an IG follower in person who also lives in the neighborhood. So yeah. That's always fun. Let the people know, one, where they can find you, where they can find your work, and how you are trying to get Gray Sweats in a music video for Gray Sweats.
Yes. So my second music video, Gray Sweats, I'm doing an Indiegogo campaign for it to get published and premiered, and also for merch and all the things. So you can look for it on Indiegogo, but on all platforms, everything is Chrissy Gon, KRISAYGON. You can find me on TikTok, Instagram, YouTube, all the things. It's all on that name.
You got a story for the music video, or is it just going to be you in a pile of gray sweats?
No, there's a I learned a lot from my first music video. I had a shot list. There's a storyline.
Yeah.
I even had archetypes from Soldier, and Oh Nana, What's My Name? We're creating a vibe here. I learned a lot from the first time.
Surprise guest? Frankie Muniz, maybe? I don't know.
Maybe. We'll see. There may be. But yeah, so this second time around, there's definitely a story, and it's definitely something for the whole family to enjoy.
I'm excited.
Manny just wants to be a part.
I'm just waiting for that scene where you're just like, Gray Sweats.
Maybe next week you know what the big deal about Gray Sweats was.
Yeah.
He moved here. And he wore a pair of
Gray Sweats. And then she explained it to me.
He needed to put some extra layers on it.
Yeah. I didn't know about it. And then she told me, I was like, oh my God. And I did one of these things, clutch my pearls.
He likes it because he got two pairs of Gray Sweat pants. Okay, this is who I'm dealing with. Again, thank you so much for being here with us. It's been fucking amazing.
Yeah.
If you guys want to know what we're up to, you can find us on Instagram, TikTok, Facebook, and YouTube at Bubble Bath Stories.
You can find me at Got No Time For This.
And you can find me at Nikki Trends on IG. If you guys are looking for official merchandise, you can head over to our website, bubblebathstories.co. And if you're looking to give us a compliment or complain or just talk about our lovely guests, anything, please hit up our Google Voice number. It's there. It's going to be on the bottom. It's going to be everywhere. Until next time, guys. Bye.
Bye.
That was amazing.